Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and with the Lord's help, perhaps we'll be able to conclude the teaching I've been sharing on meekness, how important it is in our Christian walk. It is listed in Galatians as one of the fruit of the Spirit. And so what we'd like to do on today's broadcast is look at ways that we can develop meekness and also some scripture promises that relate to meekness. There are many of them, and I trust you'll be blessed by them. And this should be one of your goals, and it certainly is one of mine with the Lord's help. So, what are the ways we can develop meekness? Well, Colossians, the third chapter, verses 12 and 14, tell us to put on meekness, and above all these things, put on love. In 1 Timothy 6 and 11, there the scriptures direct us to follow after love, patience, and meekness. And so meekness calls for a depth of love so that following and putting on suggests, of course, a seeking and a finding. Indeed, Zephaniah 2 and 3 says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. Seek righteousness, seek meekness." And so, beloved, it's a constant seeking after the Lord and following the Lord that causes these things to become part of us. Have you ever noticed that people become like those people they associate with? What's that old saying? Birds of a feather flock together. Well, that there is, the more we stay in the company of Jesus, the more we stay with godly people as far as true fellowship is concerned. That doesn't mean we're isolated from the world. That doesn't mean we stay away from the ungodly. How will we ever be able to be a witness if we insulate and isolate ourselves? But as far as having true fellowship, we can't do that with the unsaved because we're in different realms. They live in the kingdom of darkness and we dwell in the kingdom of light, God's dear Son. So, as we seek God, we will begin to acquire those traits. What does the scripture tell us? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we continue to gaze upon Him, we are changed, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, into His glorious image, from glory to glory. That's the game plan. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And so, beloved, we must pursue after the Lord, pursue after meekness, and then understand also that wisdom brings meekness. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Wisdom and love work together in us to cause the fruit of meekness to develop in us. James 3 and 13 asks, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good lifestyle, his works with meekness." Praise God. Well, now let's look at some scriptures that relate to meekness. What are some scripture promises? And I'm just going to read them as I've looked them up. Psalm 22 and 26. Here the word says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him." And James 1 and 21, Revised Standard, says, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Beloved, the word of God, you know, is our spiritual food. And it does take meekness or submissiveness to the word of God before we can receive it as our food. Once received in meekness, the word then is able to become part of us, or it becomes engrafted, just like they would graft a branch into a tree. So that happens to us. The engrafted word in us causes us to adhere more closely to the vine. Psalm 25 and 9 says, "The meek he will guide in judgment." Now that's good. Isn't that a good promise? He will guide you. If you're looking for direction, if you're meek in spirit and in heart, he will show you. This is God's promise to the meek. He promises divine guidance and direction. Why is it easy for a meek person to be led by God? Do you ever think about that? Well, because meekness always has the quality of being ready to submit. God can only lead those who submit to him. Those who are meek in spiritual character are more keen to hear God's voice. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And beloved, that trait is so important. You know, when I was saved back in 1973, in just a very short time, within a month, I was saved, filled in the Spirit, and then brought to Brother Glass's ministry, which of course is full gospel Pentecostal as far as denomination, even though we've always been independent, not part of a particular denomination. And I have noticed over the years that those who have been part or perhaps grew up or were exposed at some point in their life to some of the nominal Christian denominations, like, oh, say, Episcopal or Catholic. I want to tell you, beloved, those people understand submission because they've been taught that. They submit to the priest or their elders. And now, the fact is, we are to submit only to God, but there is a trait that is just been learned by them that many of the Pentecostals, they're like wild Mustangs. Nobody's going to tell them anything. And beloved, that, you know, well, you know, is we don't need any man to teach us. We, you know, God's word says that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Well, that's true, but God did not do away with teachers and those who will instruct us. We are to submit to one another in love. And so meekness, the ability to submit, is very important. And that's why God says he will guide in judgment. He will give direction and guidance to those who are willing to pursue meekness. Now, let me share another scripture. Or in fact, no, let's look a little bit that same scripture I gave you, Psalm 25, 9. Let's look at it a little more closely. It says, "The meek he will guide in judgment." But the rest of that verse, and this is important, it reads, "And the meek he will teach his way." Now, in Numbers, the 12th chapter, the third verse, remember that the word talked about Moses, and it said that he was very meek above all men. Psalm 103 and 7 says, "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." Note the difference. God's acts are what he does, but his ways are who he is. And there's a relationship between being teachable and meekness. Meek people are always teachable, no matter how much they've learned. They're learning more and more of who God is, and their hearts delight in new insights into God's character, which in turn leads them into further submission. All right, let's look at some more scriptures. Psalm 76, 8 and 9. "Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose in judgment to save all the meek of the earth." God arising to take the cause of the meek causes them to be saved from judgment. Thus, meek people don't have to do any fighting. Their victory is submission to God. Let's share another scripture, Psalm 147 and 6. "The Lord lifted up a meek, he casted the wicked to the ground." And here we see the activity of the Lord contrasted. The meek are lifted, the wicked are cast down. And one can see the idea of humility and exaltation here. Those who exalt themselves will fall, but when we humble ourselves in the sight of God, then God will exalt us. There are those who are lifted up by pride. And that pride is in man's abilities and achievement and reaches for selfish goals. But being lifted up by God is for his purposes to be fulfilled in us and for the production of much fruit. Another scripture, Psalm 37 and 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth." Hallelujah. And Matthew, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount 5 and 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And this is the inheritance we are promised because it is given as a gift to us by God, who is the rightful owner. He owns the earth, so he can choose to give it to who he wills, and he chooses to give it to those who are meek in heart. Psalm 149 and 4 says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." This refers to our millennial reign with Christ, when we shall rule and reign with him. Meekness will allow us to be clothed with his beauty, the glorified body. Beloved, that's the last part of our salvation, and it is in this body that we will delight to do his commandments. However, this promise is also for our present lives right here and now. Right now, we recognize that Jesus is King and Lord over all of our lives. And this recognition causes us to receive all of our supply from him. James 1:17 says, "But every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father, with whom there's neither variableness nor shadow of turning." And then the last scripture I'll share with you is Isaiah 29 and 19. "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Well, that's a blessed promise, is it not? If we're meek of heart, our joy is due to increase, not diminish. And of course, this has reference to literal Israel and the millennial reign of Christ, but there's also application to the church. The joy of rulership awaits those who have learned how to serve in a meek spirit. The earth that the meek shall inherit is the purified earth of the millennium. After the new earth, then we know we have an eternal boat with him. And the Lord has given us this life with its trials, with its problems, as a means of learning that sin and selfishness are not the ways of the kingdom. Instead, it's faithfulness and meekness that ensures promotion in our reign with Christ. Amen. Well, certainly much more could be said on this subject. By no means is this conclusive, but I pray it's enough to inspire you to go on in your walk with God. My time has come to an end, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me today. I appreciate you listening. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.